The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, Lord.
On the first day of the week, Mary of Magdala came to the tomb early in the morning while it was still dark, and she saw the stone removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved and told them, "They have taken the Lord from the tomb, and we don't know where they put him." So Peter and the other disciple went out and came to the tomb. They both ran, but the other disciple ran faster than Peter and arrived at the tomb first. He bent down and saw the burial cloths there, but did not go in. When Simon Peter arrived after him, he went into the tomb and saw the burial cloths there and the cloth that had covered his head, not with the burial cloths, but rolled up in a separate place. Then the other disciple went in, the one who had arrived at the tomb first, and he saw and believed. For they did not yet understand the scripture that he had to rise from the dead. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. I'm sure that all of us here this morning are familiar with what we call gallows humor. Now, gallows humor are those jokes we make about death and dying. I came across a little book recently that contains some of examples of gallows humor taken from tombstones across the country. For example, on one tombstone were written these words: "Here lies Johnny Yeast. Pardon me for not rising." That makes a chuckle, you know. Another one, someplace else: "Here lies the body of Bobby Blake. Stepped on the gas instead of the brake." Here's one from Boot Hill in Tombstone, Arizona: "Here are the remains of Lester Moore. Four shots from a 44. No less, no more." Well, you see, that's just an example of the kind of thing we hear all the time about death and dying. You know why? Because if we don't laugh about dying, we cry. We tell jokes about death and dying to keep ourselves from dissembling in the face of that horrible reality. Now, life is so precious to us. Death is so terrible that facing it is so difficult for us. Who of us has stood at the grave of somebody we loved? Or who of us, if we're brave enough, have looked at our own dying and not been filled with a sense of dread, maybe even a sense of hopelessness? Death is terrible. We try to laugh about it, but we know it's terrible. This past week, I received an email from one of my priest classmates from the seminary. We were together many, many years ago now, and the class of us were from all over the country. So this particular priest, who's now retired, has decided to kind of keep the rest of us informed about what's going on with everybody in the class. And this week he sent an email to all of us that informed me, that three of our classmates in the last couple of months have faced some very significant health challenges. One of them has had two strokes and is in a nursing home. Another one fell down twice, ended up going to rehab, but now he's in a nursing home. A third one had to be transfused on two different occasions, and he's in a nursing home. As I read that email, I thought to myself, "No, these men are all my age, the same age as I am." And it faced me once again with that reality that we all face, ultimately, the reality of dying. But then, you see, comes the message of this day. Then comes the message of this day, that Jesus Christ is risen. Very disappointing. Every year I have to remind you, you know, Jesus Christ is risen. Why couldn't you do that the first time? But that's the message of this day. It begins at the tomb. When the women go there and they find the tomb empty, and they see these two figures, and the figures say to them these marvelous words. "Why are you looking for the living one among the dead?" The living one. "Why are you looking for the living one among the dead? He's been raised up." And then Mary of Magdalene has her own encounter with the risen Christ, and she runs to tell the apostles, and they don't believe her. They won't believe her. Then there's those two apostles on the road to Emmaus. Remember, Jesus starts walking along with them. They don't recognize him. They go in and begin eating, and in the breaking of the bread, their eyes are open. They see him. They run back to Jerusalem to tell the others, and the others, before they can even open their mouth, the others say, "It is true. He's risen. He's appeared to Simon." And over again. See, initially, they can't believe it. They know what death is. They're not stupid. They're closer to death than you and I are in those days. They could not believe initially that Jesus was risen, that same Jesus, he himself risen. They couldn't believe it. We're told that even when he appeared to them, they were so amazed and astounded that they doubted. They couldn't believe it. But ultimately, they just could not deny the experience of their own eyes and their own hands who touched him. That's the wonder of this day, you see. Christ has conquered death. Our final enemy, none of us escapes it. Our final enemy, conquered by Christ. That's why St. Paul says in his letter to the Romans, "O death, where is your victory? Where is your sting, death? You've been conquered by Christ." See, that's the glory of this day. This changes everything. This changes everything for us. What it means is that you and I have a future. We have a future. Tomorrow, the day after, then someday, forever. We have a future. We live in hope because Christ has conquered death. Some of you might recognize the name Malcolm Muggeridge. Malcolm Muggeridge was a very well-known editorialist, newspaper person in England back in the late 1900s, 1980, 1990. Very well-known, a man about town, bon vivant, a little bit of a playboy, a cynic, a skeptic. Was the editor of Punch magazine, which was the best magazine in England at the time. He was the darling of the British elite, the favorite of the British elite. And then, rather late in life, Malcolm Muggeridge went to India to do a story on Mother Teresa. And when he was there, something happened to him. Something happened to him. When he came back to England, he did something that was unforgivable to the elite of British society. He became a Christian. Worse than that, he became a Catholic. And Malcolm Muggeridge, in those later years of his life, wrote some wonderful, beautiful testimonies about what he had learned, what he had discovered, what he believed now as a Catholic Christian. I want to read one little thing he wrote, because it's much more eloquent than what I could say. And you have to understand, he's writing this about an experience that many of us old people have. You wake up in the middle of the night, and you can't go back to sleep. All kinds of thoughts are going through your mind. You just can't get back to sleep. So this is what he's experiencing, and he writes this. I see my ancient carcass prone between the sheets, stained and worn like a scrap of paper dropped in a gutter. Yet, in the limbo between living and dying, as the night clock ticks remorselessly on, and as the black sky implacably shows not one single scratch of gray, I hear these words. I am the resurrection. And I feel myself carried along on a great tide of joy and peace. See what he's saying, huh? In the middle of the night, he experiences his age, his mortality. The clock's ticking 1 second at a time. The sky is totally black, no sign of dawn. He's just laying there. All of a sudden, in his mind, he hears these words of Christ. I am the resurrection. And he says, and I feel myself carried along on a great tide of joy and peace. Beautiful, beautiful experience of what Christ's resurrection means. Because when he conquers death, we conquer death. When he is victorious, we are victorious in him. When he rises from the tomb, that's the promise of our own resurrection. That's why I would conclude today with another little epitaph I came across. This one close to home. I actually found this on one of the old colonial markers in a cemetery over in Peterborough. Wandering through there one day, and I came across this old gray slate marker, and on it was written these words: Death, thou hast conquered me. By thine arrows I am slain, but Christ has conquered thee, and I shall rise again. Death, thou hast conquered me. By thine arrows I am slain, but Christ has conquered thee, and I shall rise again. O happy day! O day of victory! O day of glory! O day of resurrection! Because Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Amen. Hallelujah. On this day when we rejoice in the life that we've been given, the life of Christ given first to us in baptism, it's fitting that we renew our baptismal promises and that once again we bless ourselves with the baptismal water, which is the beginning of everything, the beginning of Christ's life in us. So, my dear friends, I ask you, do you renounce Satan?
I do.
And all his works.
I do.
And all his empty promises.
I do.
Do you believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth?
I do.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was born of the Virgin Mary, suffered death and was buried, rose again from the dead, and is now seated at the right hand of the Father?
I do.
Do you believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting?
I do.
And may Almighty God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given us new birth by water and the Holy Spirit, and bestowed on us forgiveness of our sins, keep us by His grace in Christ Jesus our Lord for eternal life. Amen.